Right now on Amplified, we're about to find out how decarbonisation and the digital transition go hand in hand.
Data centres are absolutely fundamental to decarbonisation. We can't decarbonise without data centres. Ireland's challenge at present is power. It's not data centres in my own view. And that's something that we're proud to be involved in.
Hi there, my name is Dusty Rhodes and you're welcome to Amplified, the Engineers Journal podcast. Engineers are on the front line of influencing our future, and one Irish company is making waves in two key areas of modern engineering, decarbonisation and the digital transition. We're about to meet an engineer who is leading the way in creating Ireland's future, scaling it for international success and ensuring decarbonisation is at the forefront of it all. We find out how his firm has achieved rapid success in just 3 years of business, how they develop passionate and innovative teams, and the incredible creative opportunities that are available right now for Irish engineers. It's a pleasure to welcome the Managing Director of Scanstec, Declan Wynne. How are you?
I'm good, Dusty, and thanks for having me on.
Listen, tell me, how did you get into the engineering game?
I've always had a passion for engineering and particularly a passion for business. And I think both work very much hand in hand, particularly in an Irish context. I think Irish engineers are quite good at being innovative, particularly connections, and have a way about doing business that seems to be quite successful in many parts of the globe.
Mm. And your company is quite young in that you've set up in the middle of the pandemic. Not the cleverest idea, some would say. What was kind of your thinking behind it, the ethos of the company, and why did you set up during the pandemic?
Yeah, look, the company was founded in 2021. It wasn't a light bulb moment or anything like that. It was to serve a gap in the market. Engineering is becoming really, really important. It's always played a huge role in terms of Irish society and globally, for that matter. However, in recent years, it's become more and more important in terms of what we're trying to achieve at a national level and at a global level in terms of decarbonisation and the digital transition that we're experiencing. So the business was formed with that concept in mind. And it's been an exciting journey over the past 3 years.
What would you say was the biggest challenge of setting up a brand new enterprise during the pandemic?
There are many challenges associated to it, but I think that's the genesis of engineers. We're problem solvers, and I think the attitude, particularly in terms of the Irish engineering people, is very much around, you know, overcoming problems, solving problems, having a can-do attitude. And we didn't really dwell too much on the pandemic in that sense. It was more about the future. It's an ambitious group of people. We've got a passion for what we do, and with a clear focus on decarbonisation and trying to help combat climate change in the first instance, and also trying to capitalise and utilise what's happening from a digital transition point of view. It's really the foundations of our business. So, you know, shortage in terms of power is a real challenge, and probably in the last number of years has become, you know, very much a topical subject in terms of its cost, etc. And look, the time is right for us, and 2021 was a good time for us to embark on this journey.
You said that you found a gap in the market, and my understanding is that you kind of create connections between new power sources that we have and the existing power grid, which has been around for ages. How would you describe that gap in the market?
Yeah, essentially we're a single source solution to our end client. So we design and engineer key infrastructure in terms of power and grids. We look at it with two aspects. We look at, you know, demand customers. So customers that have a power demand that need to bring power from the grid to the point of use. We design and engineer that solution to take that power to their facility. And in the opposite direction, where you've got a power generator, so you've got the likes of solar farms, wind farms, people that are out there, you know, developing and generating power. We take power from the point of generation onto the grid. And our business around the energy is very much geared towards both of those avenues, along with the actual, the grid itself. So the utility side of the grid network.
There are a lot of new energy sources that are becoming available. Wind power is kind of one that we would expect. Solar power is actually quite effective in Ireland, which I was very surprised at. And there are others as hydroelectricity and stuff like that, which are being used more and more. From your point of view, because you're connecting these new power sources to the grid, what are these new power sources and what's particularly good about them for you?
I think the first and key point to what's good about them is that, look, we're facing a major challenge in terms of climate change. We're trying to, you know, combat climate change and creating a, you know, a sustainable society for future generations. That's everyone's challenge. As engineers working within that space, obviously what we want to try and do is take as much fossil fuels off the system and replace it with clean forms of energy. And in order to do that, you've got to look at all options. Obviously, you know, wind is a big player in terms of energy in the Irish context. We have close to 5 gigawatt of power on the Irish network, but the wind doesn't always blow, as you know, and solar obviously is becoming a key point. It hasn't got to the same scale as of yet, of course, but when we look at what we have in terms of, you know, climate change, we look at what's coming in from Southern Europe in terms of our climate in that region. And in the opposite, we look at the likes of the Northern Europe, where wind blows through the winter months. Southern Europe gets quite a good temperature and daylight throughout the summer months. It's getting the mix of energy sources right. And that's where I would see the major opportunity for Ireland as a nation in terms of meeting that transition that's necessary. So we've got to take these fossil fuels, as I mentioned, off the grid and look at renewable sources. And in order to do that, we've got to look at all aspects of renewables, and we've got to look at how we actually engineer that. So you will hear a lot about, you know, policy, planning, financial aspects in terms of how do we decarbonize, how do we get to a net zero position. And they're all very, very valid points and key that they're addressed. But engineering is also a big pillar in that. We've got to engineer the solution. We've got to do it in a timely manner. And it's driven by people. And we are largely a business people. We innovate through our services. We're, you know, progressive in terms of what we do with our clients. And there's flexibility in terms of our service. And that's something that we pride ourselves upon. And I think if you look at the challenges that we'll face, not alone Ireland, but Europe and globally, in the coming years, it's a race in terms of time. We've got to do this quickly. We've got to do it to a standard that's sustainable for the long term.
A race against time is quite a big statement. What do you think the challenge is for us with that race?
Look, I think we can look to, you know, aspects outside of engineering at this point in time. When we look at, you know, the climate change, we look at global warming, we look at the temperature difference over a relatively short period of time. The world is changing, and we've got to act. We've got to adapt to that. So directly and indirectly, we're delighted to be involved in combating that. So obviously, from a business point of view, working in areas such as renewables and engineering the solutions and designing and building out these renewable projects to actually bring them to life. So it's making it happen. I would describe it as where we actually take the point of generation onto the grid by designing and building a grid network and making it real and ultimately replacing those fossil fuels. That's the first step. And then obviously, you know, indirectly, I think sustainability is a word that, you know, is popping up everywhere in terms of, you know, our general day-to-day lives, but also in terms of our business. And we've got to pay attention to that. And from a sustainability point of view, there's a lot that we can all do in terms of sustainability, and it starts with engineering. We've got to engineer the future. We've got to think about our design process. We've got to, you know, be mindful of it from the very beginning in terms of the, you know, the selection of materials, what we spec in terms of the nature of our project, and that's a key component to obviously combating this. And it is a race, and I think there's no better nation or group of people in terms of Irish engineers to take on that challenge. And Irish engineering businesses are dominating across Europe. It's a huge opportunity for engineers. I've been involved in this space for quite a long time, and I don't think there's ever been as much opportunity. It's exciting. There's challenges, But I think, look, engineers are problem solvers. Irish engineers have a great can-do attitude, as I mentioned, and I think that puts us in a great position to dominate into the future.
On the subject of sustainability, what do you think is stopping us as an island nation from being completely self-sustaining with natural power sources?
I think the things that are stopping us from achieving that, first is time. It takes time to make that change. And we got to be realistic in terms of the time it takes. But we're on course to do that. I think policy and planning are two key pillars in this. And we've got to make sure that our policy is right and our planning is right to enable it. There's a lot of work to happen in terms of facilitating it. We've a huge resource in Ireland in terms of renewable potential, probably the greatest in the world in terms of where we're situated. We've potentially, seven times the area, the land area in terms of offshore wind potential. There's 7 gigawatts of power planned in terms of offshore wind, 5 of it that's planned by 2030. I think that will be an exceptional challenge for us. And I think what's stopping that is the points I mentioned in terms of planning, particularly policy and infrastructure. That's the area that we specialise in terms of the electrical infrastructure to enable those particular projects. But there are other types of infrastructure that are required in terms of, ports, access to getting such large scale equipment to its place. And I think we've got to look to those things. And they're the barriers. People, of course, can't be underestimated. There's a huge need for engineering resource, and we've got to look at how we can address that and attract people into the market. And I think there's no better time than now to get involved in engineering. And I think there's so many different avenues to get involved in engineering, which is more important. So you've your conventional, academic route where people will study a degree in university from, civil, mechanical, electrical, etc. But there's new avenues emerging, and that's really exciting for industry in the form of more skilled people getting involved from a trade side, from an apprenticeship perspective. And we need to be embracing that, and we need to be promoting the opportunities in engineering, which I think is at times underestimated. And in terms of our business and our growth, we have great people involved, but we have people involved from all types of engineering, and there's people that are from an engineering background that really enjoy things within the business that may not be described as your conventional engineering on a day-to-day basis. There's problems to be solved, and there's logistics, there's challenges, there's coming up with solutions, and coming up with those solutions within a timely manner is part of the excitement. So back to the point in relation to what's preventing us, it's those key people. So it's our human resources, and it's getting our ducks in line from an enabling perspective.
Interesting that you say people is kind of one of the key resources that we need in engineering in order to solve these problems, because it's something that not a lot of people say, but it's so true. Can I ask you about fossil fuels? And we have power plants, and they've been around for decades, and our grid has been around for decades as well. We're getting rid of the fossil fuel power plants because they're kind of old technology. We just can't keep them. What about the grid? Does that need upgrading?
Absolutely. Look, you could say our whole industry that we work in is close to 100 years old at this point in time. Obviously, Ardna Crusha is the landmark piece of infrastructure in Ireland in terms of power, and it ignited a whole sector. And I think it's a key piece of history, and it's been a real success story in terms of the rollout of the 110 kV network from that back in 1927. We're close to 100 years. There's huge advancements since then. We've close to, 60 utility scale power plants in Ireland. We've got capacity of 7.5 gigawatt of power. It's a huge leap forward, but we've so much more to do. There's a lot of money gone into the grid and the network. But as I mentioned in the outset, it's that transition. Our energy system is changing. So the network was designed on the basis of what we had at a given time. And it's very, very clear now that we need to move towards a completely different source of energy. And that source is renewables. And it's renewables from both, onshore wind, offshore wind, solar, and many others that will come down the line. And to enable that, we've got to flex our system, and we've got to adapt it to meet those needs and the needs for, you know, renewables, connecting the large scale offshore wind farms from the west coast of Ireland or the south or the east coast is much different and requires a different grid network. And we have to build in the smarts to our network as well. And that's where connectivity is a key point to this. So we look at heat and transport, and we look at, you know, not alone the utility companies or the developers that's generating, like, as society, you know, people in their own private domestic homes and, you know, their commercial facilities are putting solar panels on the roof. They're looking at micro generation. They're looking at smart grids. This is all part of the network, and we've got to gear up, and we've got to be prepared for that. And we're on the right road. I think we've got the key stakeholders in our industry on board that is doing some great work. But it's a race of time. We've got to accelerate, and we've got to do it quick.
A huge driver for your company, ScanStech, is decarbonisation. How important is engineering in the context of decarbonisation?
It's hugely important, because we need to, if we look at sustainability and we look at, you know, ESG, we talk about how do we save the planet. Like, this is a global challenge. It's about future generations. And when we look at how we're going to actually do it, we need to engineer those solutions. And not alone do we need to engineer them for, you know, today and tomorrow, but we need to engineer them for the future in terms of sustainability. And that's often by making the right choices. It might not be the cheapest, it might not be the fastest. It's about actually what's sustainable, what's the right foundation blocks to put in place for the future. So when we look at, you know, connectivity, we look at super grids, we look at trying to build a network that will serve us into the future. Decarbonisation is key to that, and that can only be achieved through real good, solid engineering. And I think Ireland is hugely positioned to be a leader in that. It's been a leader in many areas of engineering. It's got reputation globally for its engineering ability, and particularly in our particular sector at present. As I mentioned, Irish engineering companies are dominating across Europe in terms of specialist engineering services, and, you know, construction as a sector is a huge piece of the economy. It's one of our fastest and largest growing sectors, and it's a big player to the wider economy. And we got to make the right choices in terms of what we design and introduce into the system for the future.
You're saying that Ireland could be a leader or is a leader in the world of energy and digital. Have you any, like, examples of projects that show this, particularly with decarbonisation?
Yeah, there's numerous scenarios where we can look to that. If we look at some of the largest infrastructure projects in this sector across Europe, there's multiple Irish businesses involved in each of those schemes. There's very few projects across Europe where Irish engineering companies don't pop up and appear, and they're appearing there because they're leaders. And we got to take note of that. And I would encourage, you know, people that are thinking about getting into engineering to stand back and look at the opportunities in engineering, both in terms of the profession, but also in terms of the career experience, opportunity to travel. Engineering is a global passport, I would describe it as. It's an opportunity to go to many places. And when we talk about large scale renewable projects, when we speak about data center connections, data center market is huge across Europe, and Irish engineering companies are dominating that space. So we're well recognized, and I think we're well welcomed is probably a key point as well. Right from the off, there's a can-do attitude. It's a case of we can get this done. And I think that's what engineering needs at this point in time. It needs people that can grab hold of problems, can innovate. The pace is fast. We see the likes of, you know, AI coming down the tracks. Power demands are increasing. We all want to be super connected, not just at our, you know, our office location or our home office location. As soon as we step out into the car, we head down the street, we want to be connected at all times. And that's infrastructure, and that's engineering. And I think Irish engineering staff have flown the flag really, really well to date. And I think we've positioned ourselves to be a major player for the future.
Let me ask you about engineers, because we're talking about travel and working abroad. Firstly, kind of like a lot of people go to Australia. You're talking about a lot of people working in Europe. In your own experience, where do you see or hear engineers going around the world? Where do they go?
Yeah, look, I think we're at a difficult time, particularly for young people and graduates on the back of, you know, a pandemic, and maybe where opportunities weren't as plentiful to travel for various reasons. And people now are looking to explore. What I would say is that there are other opportunities to explore in Europe and closer to home. So we see a lot of people going to Australia. We see a lot of people going to Canada and places such as that. But often we don't stop and think what's on our doorstep. There's some of the leading engineering companies in Ireland that are dominating, as I said, across Europe, and that's a huge engineering opportunity. So if you want to travel and see the Nordics, you want to see Southern Europe, you want to see mainland Europe while progressing your career and being at the forefront of prestigious engineering projects, that opportunity exists. And because of technological advancements, you know, engineering first principles remain, but the day-to-day activity is fast changing. And I think that's quite exciting. So you might get someone who may want to progress a career in IT or in a different particular swim lane, but engineering is actually a solution because there's so many options in engineering at the moment. And engineering companies have to embrace that and have to promote that.
Speaking of opportunities for engineers, can I ask you about Scantech? I mean, it's an Engineers Ireland CPD accredited employer. It sounds like you really invest in your people. How important is that continuous development for you?
It's hugely important, Dusty. And I think, you know, any company that underestimates that will face challenges into the future, because as much as we have all the technological advancements, we still have to deliver through human connection. We have to develop people. And the Engineers Ireland CPD framework is a super platform to develop people. It's universal. It's not restrictive to Ireland, or, you know, you can apply it to anywhere you operate. And it gives an opportunity for people to see a pathway in terms of their career. And it gives the employer the opportunity to identify the gaps, to work on the developmental areas that are needed in order to advance people in both their careers, but also in terms of their skill set, and to be able to match that with the needs that's facing companies. And I think for the engineers themselves, in terms of CPD, I think entering a business where you have that mindset in place is hugely important, because it's a clear pathway to progression. There's something visible, and there's something they can work towards. And I think that's important. We all need development in what we do. And at the pace the industry is going at present, it's never been as important.
And there's a huge amount of information about that. I always say there's libraries of information that literally is on the Engineers Ireland website. Take a look at that. But Declan, talking the talk and walking the walk are two different things. So you speak very eloquently about continuous development. Can I ask you how you have embraced continuous learning in your own career?
Yeah, look, it's something that we try to put a lot of focus on in the business, and in order to lead that, you've got to put a focus on your own development. And I think every day is a learning day. You don't often need a very formal, structured course to develop. So there's coaching and mentoring that takes place in terms of the workplace. So I think the leadership side is usually important. I've always had a passion for engineering, but equally for business. And I think to survive in business, you've got to be prepared for change. And to be ready for change, you've got to develop, and you've got to continually develop. And that's something that I've always put an emphasis on. So I've got an engineering background. I have an MBA from DCU and a few postgrads that I focus on, and continue to try and get involved in programs to progress and advance in terms of my own personal development and performance, but equally to be able to share that experience and champion it from a company level.
Yeah. Also last year, you were an EY Ireland Entrepreneur of the Year finalist. Is that kind of a good learning experience, or is it kind of more ego kind of a thing?
definitely not the latter. It's hugely progressive in terms of learning. My experience on the OY program has been super. First and foremost, I could not be involved in something like that if it wasn't for our team at Scanstick. It's our people in the business that presents the opportunity in terms of where the business is at to get that recognition. I'm at the helm of it, but we wouldn't be there if we didn't have a strong team behind us. In terms of the learning throughout, it's massive. You learn so much from one another. And I think network and connection are two key things in terms of success within Irish engineers. We've seemed to have a natural pedigree for making connection. And we do that seamlessly in Ireland and even abroad. And I think, you know, companies overseas recognise that when they see the Irish government, they kind of feel that these guys will get it done. They, you know, how and when and where are other questions, but there's a belief factor. And I think from the OY experience in terms of meeting like-minded people, particularly from, you know, an entrepreneurship perspective, it's hugely positive and a major learning in terms of my own career.
Now, listen, I haven't asked you too much about your own company, Scanstick, and you've been saying that you work kind of a lot around Europe. Are you able to give us kind of an idea of the kind of projects that you're involved in?
Yeah, look, we're, as you mentioned, we're a relatively young company. At present, we employ close to 150 people. We have three regional European office locations, Ireland, Lisbon, in Portugal for our Iberian sort of marketplace. And we've a regional office up in Denmark for the Nordics. We're currently delivering live projects across seven different European locations. And that's for a mix of clients, mainly multinationals and utility type clients, focusing on largely renewables and data centers. Telecommunications is also a key component to our business. And we're delighted to be working for some global brands in terms of telecommunications and delivering those across Europe also, which is really, really important.
And seeing as you mentioned data centres, let me finish by asking you about data centres, because, you know, well, it depends who you talk to, but sometimes it can be a bit of a dirty word. And data centres here in Ireland are hogging nearly 20% of the entire electricity supply, and that's going to grow. Do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing? How do you see it?
Data centres are absolutely fundamental to decarbonisation. And I think it's an education piece. We can't decarbonize without data centers. What is Ireland's challenge at present is power. It's not data centers in my own view. Clearly, there are huge, you know, energy draws from data centers. That's a given. However, in terms of what data centers do, it's really, really important that we have data centers, and we need more and more data centers. Europe is absolutely growing rapidly in terms of the data center market, and that's essential for decarbonisation achieving a net zero position. I think in terms of the Irish context, it's probably getting greater focus because there's a pressure on power, and particularly over the last number of years, there's been a huge emphasis on the cost of power, and that's hit everyone in their back pocket, as we all know. And ultimately, that's the race for time that I spoke about earlier, in terms that we've got to replace fossil fuels. We've got to bring on a cleaner form of energy onto our system, a cleaner source of energy, and we've got to adjust and transition our energy system to enable that to happen. And that's something that we're proud to be involved in, and I think it's something that has to be the focus. And if we look at, you know, solving the problem, I think it's there we need to look at, not data centres.
And it's fair to say then that the number one thing that we need to get those problems sorted is engineers.
Absolutely. And, you know, we look at engineering, we look at, you know, remote working, we look at connectivity. Data centres are central to all of those areas. And in terms of people, it's people that design and build them. And if we look at, you know, the need for engineers, now more than ever, engineers are needed. If we look at the people that might go into, you know, policy change to make an impact in terms of the future, that's something that's important to them. If you're thinking about engineering, you can also look at engineering in the context how it can play a part in terms of changing our future for generations to come. And that's where I'd say the major opportunity lies presently, in both home and abroad.
Well, listen, if anything we've been chatting about on the podcast today is kind of sparking your imagination, or you're kind of looking for more opportunities and you want to find out more about Declan Wynne and Scanstech or some of the topics that we spoke about in general, you find notes and link details in the description area of this podcast. But for now, Declan Wynne, Managing Director of Scanstech, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Dusty. Thanks for having us on.
If you enjoyed our podcast today, do share with a friend in the business. Just tell them to search for Engineers Ireland in their podcast player. The podcast is produced by dustpod.io for Engineers Ireland. For advanced episodes, more information on engineering across the country or career development opportunities, which we mentioned, there are libraries of information on our website at engineersireland.ie. Until next time, for myself, Dusty Rhodes, thank you for listening.